I mentioned that I really appreciated the messages that were given here by Cecil Cogswell and by Kendall from Empower Ministries, and it's not a coincidence when you hear about where we're going as to why we had those two speakers speaking those two messages at that time. We had the opportunity to have conversations with both of those men in advance, let them know kind of where we've been going as a church family and where we'd be headed to in terms of our teaching on Sunday mornings over this next little while. And so then allowed them to use what God's given them. And I thought they did an excellent job of that. And so it'd be worth, if you haven't yet listened to it, it'd be worth tracking that down, just hearing about what our responsibility, Cecil talked about what our responsibility is as he went through the book of Acts, to go and make disciples, being ready to go, not being willing to settle, to resist the urge to settle, and then Kendall sharing stories from Empower Ministry, how God is at work in great ways around the world. And sometimes you might hear those stories and you think, I want some of that. I want some of that. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to make those changes in our lives to be able to see some of that happen? Because it won't, if we keep doing the same things we've always been doing, we can't expect that to happen. And so are we willing to embrace suffering? Are we willing to go through some of the hardships in order to see God work? Are we waiting for God to say, you know what? I can work through your comfortable approaches to life. That's a big challenge. And so as we go into this book of 1 Peter, it's really going to help us, I believe, to understand some of these things. And so the series is entitled Just Visiting, Holiness in a Fragmented World. And I really just want to start by sharing these first couple of verses from 1 Peter. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Peter starts out this letter by identifying himself first, but then as he addresses the people to whom he's writing, he talks about them this way. He calls them, he says, to God's elect exiles, and some of your versions, it'll also say to the strangers scattered throughout the provinces. To the strangers scattered throughout the provinces. And one of the things that Cecil talked about when he was here, as he took you back through the book of Acts and where the scattering took place, right? When Stephen was stoned and he died at the feet of Saul, who was to become the apostle Paul, talked about this under the pressure, the church, the believers in Jesus Christ had to scatter, and that's where we kind of last remember seeing that kind of terminology. And so the idea of scattering, not in hopelessness, but knowing that scattering is something that God has intentionally in mind, and that he looks at us as a result of that, as we find ourselves in new places, we don't look at ourselves as trying to necessarily fit into those places, but we first primarily look at ourselves, no matter where we are, as strangers here who have a heavenly home. And our ability to think about that changes all the time. And one of the challenges that we face in our current times is that we come together on Sunday mornings, and some of us are really good at doing that on a regular weekly basis. Others of us have work schedules that interrupt that rhythm. Others of us, if we're completely honest, can blow it off pretty easily if we want to. But the idea that we come together here But if you look around the room, you recognize that we actually go off in different places. We all have different kind of jobs. We're different places in our lives. We have different things going on. We come from different backgrounds. We maybe have different socioeconomic areas that we fit into better than others. And those differences, those ways in which we scatter, are not things that should divide us. Rather, they're part of the uniting that we have in Christ, and that when we come gather together, we gather to be strengthened so that when we scatter unified in the idea that we are representing Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ in the places he calls us to go. And one of the really awesome things, one of the things that I love about what the Lord's been doing with our church family over the last little while is he's really helping people to understand that. And we'll be sharing some of those stories through our spring stories, Serve, Pray, Respond in the Grace of God. And many people are actively involved in participating in that. But one of the best things that has happened for us over the course of time, now right before I left for vacation, we had our Adventure Bible Camp, and I love that because it's many generations coming together, so many people coming together to serve the children and the families of this community. But throughout the whole summer, we had something really cool going on at Camp Mishawa, and it's kind of developed and grown over these last couple of years, and I'm going to invite Leisha to come up and just share a little bit about Camp Mishawa. And it was a bit of a fragmented time this summer. As we gathered here, we always had somebody or more than one people or more than one family away, and that was a little bit different. So while these pictures were playing before you came in this morning, they're going to be rolling in behind her as she speaks to us this morning as well, and then we'll put them on at the end, just so you know. There's a lot of pictures, so if you say, hey, I was at Camp Mishawa, I didn't see my face, we didn't take you out, there's just a lot of pictures.
Because there were a lot of you there. Good morning. It's really good to be back home. And even greater than that, it's good to be back here with our church family all in one place. Our family has been away for 2.5 months. We've been up at Camp Mishawa. And one of the biggest questions that I get back is, once I get back, is how are you? Like, as if I should be dead, right? we've been serving there, and my role is as the head cook in a kitchen. We were serving between 140 to 175 people every meal, 3 times a day. And then outside of that, we have chapel services going on, so then we were providing coffee and desserts for every chapel service every day. And it's a lot of work. And people say, like, why do you do that? There's no days off. And I says, I know. And when I think about that, like 3 years ago when I started going, I had no idea what I was doing. I had never cooked for a crowd before. And I was saying no to God. I cannot go. There is absolutely no way I can do this. And I've shared stories about that. And God told me that if you go, I promise I'll take care of you. And he's done that. So here it is 3 years later, and we went back. I was fortunate enough to have Tyson there with me for about 3 to 4 weeks of the first part of the summer, and then I had withdrawal for the second half, and he went back to work. But I had my kids there. I had Sayla and Kelso were there, and they served in their own way, and Quinn was on maintenance team, and Keaton served in the kitchen. He was the afternoon cook for 3 weeks on his own. And he served throughout the kitchen the entire summer. But the best part of all of that was that I wasn't on my own. So we had my family, and I could never have done that in my own strength. God strengthened me, but God also supported me, and he supported me through our church family. People that come to Camp Mishawa as campers, they're like, who are all these people? Like, we've never seen these people before. And I'm like, they're from Sarnia. They're really awesome. They're our church family. Because people just don't do what you guys have done this summer, given up a week of your vacation to come and to serve for no money. It just doesn't make sense to them. But you guys did it, and you did it awesome. And There's lots of challenges in being away. One of the hardest thing was the things that you miss out on home. We have a seasonal staff of 30 people. That includes our volunteers. They're counted as our seasonal staff that come from here. And when they came, it was so fueling. I felt refueled when each week when a new family would come, because they'd also bring messages from home. And some of those messages were really hard because we were missing out on being here to support our family when they were in a time of need. There was some loss this summer. There was some celebrations. There were families that were going through hard times, and that was hard to be so far away. But God kept our church family close, like Dave had said. We're scattered, and yet here I was being refueled by the families that would come. And so those were some of the challenges. I found that with each week and a new family coming, I was re-energized. I was encouraged, I was supported, and it was possible to do what we were doing because of the support of our church family and the families being there. It was exciting because I would see God use each family each week in a different way. It wasn't like having the same family every week. Each one brought something new to the table, their gifts, their talents, their experiences. It was exciting because it took Tyson 3 years to light camp. It took Nathan Johns only 3 weeks. I don't know where he is, but he vowed he would hate camp, and he really did think he was going to hate it, and we just kept saying, just give it a little bit of time, Nathan, give it a little time, and I think he went home liking camp a little bit more, but he brought something new, too. He started leading our team devotions, and I could see God using his gifts that way. He was there to support Aaron, and Aaron was there to support me. Aaron cooked for 3 weeks in the afternoon, and that was time for me to then be with my family for a little bit and have a break. I laugh because our seasonal staff would always do this thing where they're like, when the new people come, can you get them to do the lettuce? And it was like this secret that we didn't tell any of the new families that came, because it would take like 2 hours to clean the lettuce. You'd be doing like heads of lettuce going out your ears because you were doing it for 3 days at a time. And then Albert came. And Albert said, I don't really feel like I'm doing anything. All I'm doing is cleaning lettuce. And they'd all snicker behind his back thinking, yes, he's doing the lettuce. We don't have to do the lettuce. So even that was an encouragement. And encouragement came in so many ways. But Kobe, you did so many good things. I just want to make sure I don't forget anything I wanted to share. So Camp Mishawa, we come and we serve there, and I think it's exciting because we're not just serving. Camp Mishawa is honestly a place where people come, families come, a lot of pastors come, a lot of ministry people come, and it's a week for them to be refueled and re-energized as well. There's devotionals and chapels going on all the time, and in the past, I've never been able to go there. We're so busy in there at lunch and breakfast and supper and prepping all the time, but this year was my first year. I was actually able to participate in some of those because of the support that we were getting from our volunteers here from Sarnia. We have new managing camp directors. They are amazing. I'm so excited that God has brought them. This is the first time I've actually left and not been completely exhausted. But they've allowed our families to come. And as a result of that, not only using our gifts, we're starting to see our little kids start to imagine what they could do in ministry. Thinking, I hear the little one saying, well, when I come to Camp Mishawa as a teenager, I'm going to be a lifeguard, or I'm going to work in the kitchen, or I'm going to do this. And it starts creating within them ideas and thoughts on how they can serve by role modeling and being allowed to serve in an environment like this. So that's cute. But anyhow, so there's a lot of things that Camp Mishawa still needs. Our hope is that we'll be able to continue doing this. One of the biggest struggles that Camp Mishawa has is that we don't have, unlike our Stainer camp, we don't have a lot of lodging. We don't have a lot of space to put people. So when we bring all our volunteers, we take up a lot of space that we can't actually then use as rentable space for people to keep our camp thriving. So one of my dreams is that there will be enough support and donations that come in that will allow for more lodging. That's always been a problem. This year, it's exciting because a church has done a mission project where they've built two new cabins. So that's exciting. So that's beginning to happen, but that's a continued prayer. And there's always lots of things that camp needs. One of them being my hope is that this year we'll be able to get new curtains for all of our cabins. They're a little bit torn and ratty. And I know that different people have different gifts. Maybe you can't go to Camp Mishawa, but you like to sew or you have other gifts that you can use. So that's one thing that we're still looking for. Aaron and I were talking, dreaming in the kitchen. We could really use some new pots in the kitchen. And we started thinking about there's lots of ways that if, you know, camp isn't a place you can go to, maybe there's still a way that you can serve at Camp Mishawa or for Camp Mishawa. And of course, just praying for next year's staff. We had a lot of youth give up their summers. Their jobs there aren't like paid the same way that you would be at a regular job, but they're doing just as much work and working just as hard. So we're just praying that God would continue to bring youth and adults that would want to serve at Camp Mishawa. And hopefully maybe one of those people is you.
Thank you. You can keep those slides going while I talk, because I might not actually be interesting. So, but thank you so much to all of you who prayed for Camp Mishawa and the ministry that took place there, and for those of you especially who sacrificed a week of or more of your time over the course of the year. As you hear those numbers, right, preparing meals for 140, 150 people, that's every week through the course of the summer. And if you do the math on that, that's a lot. And what a blessing that is. And what a difference it makes for those who are there all through the summer to have that. And again, we talked about this before. This is not normal. This is something very unique to what God is doing among us. And so just thank you for embracing that and being willing to consider that. And so take some time to think about, some of you are great planners, think about next summer and consider how you can be involved in supporting what the Lord's doing through this camp. And talk to some of these families have participated there through the summer. So that's what we got a little bit of that feeling of, especially going through the summer, of what it's like to be scattered across different places. And yet in the scattering, God says, no, you are chosen. You are my elected ones. And in fact, the whole book of 1 Peter, it starts with the idea of God's people being chosen. And it ends with the reminder that we are chosen. And so in between, everything that happens within that context, that God has chosen us for something. And to be chosen by God, even though we might feel like we are walking in a fragmented world, and there are a lot of difficult things that we face in the world in which we live. There are a lot of difficult circumstances and ideologies that we come up against, whether it's in our workplaces or in our schools or even in our homes. And so how does God help us in that? But to remember that we are first and foremost, even if we feel fragmented, even if we feel scattered, even if we feel apart, to remember that first and foremost, we are chosen by God. And being chosen is something really special. It's something very special because God says, in being chosen, it's a positional thing. He moves us, and not just from the ordinary, but to moves us to being his child. He considers us his son or his daughter when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a position of privilege as well. So it's not only is it positional, but there's also privilege. But here's the really amazing part is it comes with power, not force, but his authority to be able to handle the circumstances into which we find ourselves, knowing that as we apply ourselves to following him, he will equip us to deal with those things, and he will be our helper in that. And so we have this purpose, right? To be chosen by God, it means that we have position, we have privilege, we have power, and we have purpose. And sometimes we think that purpose has to be something grand and glorious, something that everybody pays attention to. But I'm more and more convinced that simple acts of holiness based on our desire to honor God can make an eternal difference in the lives of people. And that's what this book has to offer us. There's so much in there for us. And as you consider how Peter, often, I don't know about you, for those of you who are used to maybe reading your Bibles and you read through some of these letters, maybe you skim through the intros because, you know, it's just an introduction. What's the big deal? But Peter's introduction here is really significant in that he places the context of being chosen. He also places it with this, that you are chosen with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're chosen according to the wisdom, the foreknowledge of God. It's not an accident, but God knows who you are. He knows what you're going through, and so he is mindful of you. Will you be now mindful of him and how he desires to work through your life? The Holy Spirit is at work, he says, sanctifying us or continuing to work in us to make us holy. And as Leisha talked, she said something really cool, which I really appreciate about her and this journey with Mishwa especially, but learning to say yes to God. So often we say no to the things that God presents us, and we deny ourselves the opportunity to grow in our own faith, grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and then experience the very things that we say we want because maybe it doesn't come in a package that we think it ought to come in. And so learning to say yes to the working, the cleansing work, the sanctifying work, the empowering work of the Holy Spirit within our lives is also the context within which Peter writes this letter. And he says, thirdly, he says it's about obedience to Jesus Christ. We're all going to obey something. We're all going to obey something. Are we willing to obey Jesus Christ? Is that first and foremost our desire? To understand who Jesus is, what he says, and then place ourselves in obedience to him. According to the foreknowledge of Jesus, allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to continue in our lives, and then to do so by the standard that Jesus sets for us. That obedience is another theme that runs through this book. And I encourage you to read through this book. We're going to take our time and go through it over these next number of weeks. But I encourage you to read through it, and you'll see that obedience is really central, listening to what God says, being willing to obey what God says, and to trust him for what will arrive instead of trying to calculate all of that. We rob ourselves of the blessing of faith by trying to calculate and predetermine everything. And Peter writes and says, no, that's not the way. That's not the way I want you to do this. There's something else that's really key within this book, and I think that many of us can identify with it, if not all of us. And if maybe it's not you now, soberly tell you that it will be. In every single chapter of this book, it mentions suffering. The idea of suffering is consistent through every chapter of this book. And yet, it's a great book because I think it challenges our ideas, and sometimes maybe the way we try to present ourselves is having everything together or seeking to have, once I get this together, Lord, then I will do this. Once this happens, then I will do this. Once I settle this, then I will. Once I arrive at this place, then I will do this. But Peter's reminder is that suffering happens at every stage and place, almost every way we look. And so if that's the case, does God have a response to that? And I'm so thankful that his response is yes, of course he does. The answer is found according to the wisdom of God by trusting the work of the Spirit of God within us. and being knowledge of being understanding the standard of Christ and being willing to obey that standard. That's so key to embracing the suffering and walking through the suffering that God presents to us. And that's true. Suffering exists. Sometimes we can belittle the circumstances of others, but maybe even particularly our children when they're in school, but their suffering exists just as much as your suffering exists. And the great news is that the Holy Spirit comes in its fullness to them as children, same as it does to you. And that's part of why the reason why we need to learn to disciple our kids or disciple our grandkids, to teach them what it means to follow and trust Christ with every ounce of their being. It's so crucially important. But the reality is, despite the fact that we live in a fragmented world, the greater news is, the best news is, we serve a living God in whom we have the capacity, by virtue of the power of His Spirit, to strengthen ourselves together as a family, as a body of Christ, to go through those things together. That's an amazing, amazing gift. And that's part of why it's important to keep in mind, hey, we're just visiting here. We don't own anything. We're managers. We're stewards of what God has entrusted us to. And our story, in case you need to be reminded, our story as the SEMC, our story over these last number of years, our story is as we live our lives open-handed, as we live our lives with open homes, as we live our lives in this community and serve others, God continues to supply our need. And He continues. What's exciting about that video that we showed earlier, what's exciting is He continues to draw men and women, boys and girls, parents and children together to say, we want to lift up the standard of Jesus Christ as number one in our homes. That's awesome. That's something to be thankful for. Are you thankful for that? I am too. I'm going to invite the music team to come up. And as we do, let's celebrate our redemption, our life in Jesus. It is in Him that we have, that we live and move and we have our being. And anything else that we do has to come secondary to saying yes to Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, You change our citizenship. We're issued a new pass that says heaven is our home. Thank You that You are our Father. And we pray, Father, that You would help us to understand what it means to live through our lives, to walk through our days as those just visiting. That we can be able to share with others what it means to know You and to share with others those characteristics of our eternal home. And Father, would You use us, strengthen us even in the midst of suffering as we do. And I pray, Father, as we listen, as we celebrate some of the things that You've already done, we look forward to what You have yet to do. We pray, God, that You would raise up others who will serve openly with a desire to see men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why we do what we do. That's why we gather. And we ask, God, that You would bless it. And if there is somebody here, Father, who's yet to place their faith in Christ, then I pray that today is the day of salvation for them, that they would simply say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to know that I am Your child. I want Your Spirit to work in me. I want to follow Jesus and be obedient to Him. May today be the day that prayer is released from their heart to Yours. And maybe today, Father, there's others who say, I need to identify with Jesus. And would You also free them up to take that next step as well? We're many people. We have many next steps. May we do so in a way that honors You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.